everybody. Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. I'm Kim.
And I'm Kyle. And Kim, I've heard about you. You're not getting a drink. You're cut off on this podcast.
What the hell is this plain story? What is it, Kyle? Christian, why is he telling this story? He describes it as a crazy story. And I'm just imagining myself as like a maybe 21-year-old woman, because did he check their IDs? And then like being in the middle of the night when all like the plane is dark and all the like window shades are closed, and some drunk rando who's stumbling back from the bathroom sits beside me and starts chatting me up, asking if he can like order me a gin and tonic, and like how horrified I would be. And he looks like 37.
But what's funny, Kev, is based on his story, I don't even think he asked them if they wanted a drink. He just went and tried to buy them for them.
He's just like, here's a gin and tonic. Like, no, dude, no, no.
How do you even know what I like to drink? That's maybe the most irritating part. That's the worst part of it to me, is he didn't even ask them what they wanted to drink. Don't bring me a fucking gin and tonic. That's disgusting. How dare you?
Kyle, he's just magnetic. He just makes friends
everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but those friends seem to always be young blonde women, don't
Weird.
They?
So, yeah, in bars while they're drunk and pliable.
Yeah.
I think he says to Cleo 4 times, let's just get you wasted and maybe you won't be so fucking annoying.
Basically. And he's trying to get drunk the whole time, too, because he's so uncomfortable. He's not trying to make friends with you at the bar, Kyle. That's for sure.
That's fair. The best part about the plane story to me is that he thought that it's cute.
Yeah.
I've never been cut off in a bar before, but I don't think I'd be going around telling people about it. If I was, I would keep that to myself literally forever.
I know one person's sister who was cut off on a plane, and she was literally so wasted. She tried to make out with a guy next to her, and it is like, she's still horrified about it. Absolutely Good. Horrified. Yeah. Good. And it's like, oh God.
Sometimes like shame is okay.
Yes. This guy has no shame, though. He's bragging about this.
Yeah.
And his magnetic personality, that he scared 2 young women on a plane to the point where like the air hostess had to be like, get the fuck away from them and back to your seat, sir. And you are cut off and will not be drinking anymore. Also,
please go to sleep.
Do we have footage of this? Because I'm assuming he filmed this shit, and I would like to see it.
I mean, no wonder he passed out immediately. He was fucking annihilated, or maybe hungover.
I have the same note. I'm like, no wonder Cleo didn't get any action. The dude was still drunk when he arrived. And then
whiskey
he was like,
dick.
Yeah, he went through the stages of like sick, hungover. And then did you notice that by the time they went out in the wild the next day, it was already dark?
Oh, yeah.
He like slept the whole day.
Cleo was sitting around hanging out with her cats, I feel like, for 8 hours waiting for him to sober up and wake up.
Oh, my God. So horrible. Anyway, Christian and Cleo's super cringy this week. And then best part, highlight, was Nicola saying, I'm only spending 5 minutes in the club. And then he's like having the best time of his life.
Pass me a stogie.
I loved it. This guy is trying so hard to have the Catholic guilt, but he's having the time of his life. And, you know, dancing's not a sin, Kyle. It's not a sin.
Neither are cigarettes, because cigarettes literally didn't exist. Yeah, I know. It's so convenient that you can get fucking wasted. But because, you know, beer existed and wine, but can't smoke cigarettes. What? Yeah. Like, why?
It's dumb. God gave us plants. God damn it. I just, Amanda and Rosvin, too, have just like disappeared from the agenda for 2 weeks. They're so boring. Like, I call it, nothing ever happens with these two.
Apparently, they're so boring. The next episode is going to be arguing about period sex, which is just awesome. It's great.
Great. Can't wait to cover that next week. Tyrae, smartest quote of the whole episode. I just want to find out if my instincts are right. I'll tell you right now, Tyrae, they are not. Your instincts are never right. Go against them. Very bad.
Guys, I know some people are really, really kind and think the best of people. And when it comes to Tyrae, we have some listeners that are basically saints and trying to tell me that he's not dumb. And I'm sorry, you're just wrong. I love you guys so much. You guys are like the sweetest humans, but this is maybe the stupidest human being we've had on the show. The only other possibility, this is a little bit of a tinfoil, but I was reading another possibility that, and I don't know if this is true, but it's just something that I thought was interesting. The concept, like, Tyrae may have such deep homophobia that the idea that he was talking to a man, his brain will literally refuse to process that. Mm. And maybe that's why his behavior and decisions are so bizarre, because he's just terrified of this concept.
That's he just deep, can't deal Kyle. With it. That's deep.
I mean, I don't think it's that deep, but I mean, the alternative is that you're watching someone that is so stupid that TLC is essentially exploiting them. You know what I mean?
It feels exploitative. Like,
yeah.
At this point, and like telling his mom, I was like, why do we have to tell mom? This is like so cringe.
I don't know. I kind of feel more comfortable talking about it as like he's desperately trying to rationalize that he was talking, that he was like in love with a man and he just can't do it. And so he has to make up other shit. I don't know. That's in a way that's kind of more that's like more comforting.
it just goes to show though. I mean, you read all the stuff on the news about like romance scams. And I mean, it's a $1 billion industry. And it does show like he really, really bought into this for years and now is suffering because this is like the one thing he looked forward to every day, and it's just fucking sad. And
I mean, maybe the most wild part about it is how little the scammer actually extracted from him.
Yes.
Compared to the amount of time that was spent. And, you know, if there's anything about this story that makes me sympathize with him, it's that. It's just like, this was years and he got a couple $100. I mean, the guy could have done some fucking DoorDash and made the same amount of money. I don't even care what country it's in, you know?
Oh, my God. Like, anything, right? He could have, like, collected aluminum cans and gotten more money than he extracted from Tyrae. That's when he's like, I think he's working together with this. I'm like, what would be the incentive? Like, you're not understanding how a scammer works. I mean, it's just, it's crazy making to watch and just, quite honestly, really depressing. But
I still like Statler.
I do too. People are annoyed with her. I don't get it.
I mean, I could see being annoyed with her if she was close to me in my life, because you don't want to see someone who you care about making horrific decisions constantly. So I could see that. But as far as like TV entertainment, like, she's cute, she's fun, she makes jokes. Like, not all of them land, but who cares? She's fun. I feel like if you really have a chip on your shoulder about Statler, you just hate Joy.
I just think she's funny and like she's good TV. We want people making bad decisions here, folks. If people are making good decisions, they can go to another reality show that's much more sophisticated. Okay.
Listen, I'll take an episode where someone is basically just shitting the entire time. I mean, that's great podcast fodder right there.
She needs to remember, like, hot tip, Statler, every time you travel, just you need to have diarrhea medicine. Okay.
Yeah. And just like just eat potatoes. That's it. Do the Polish diet on the plane before the plane, you know.
Just get that Cipro, you know.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
All right, you want to start with Statler? Should we hop
sure.
right into... Okay,
yeah.
I figured it out. Statler reminds me of Lizzie Kaplan.
I don't know who that is. Sorry.
Her mannerisms, her voice, the way she talks, like her eyes. There's something about her that reminds me of Lizzie Kaplan. If you don't know who that is, Google it. She was in like a bunch of stuff. But anyway, she's not like super well known, but she radiates awkwardness. Dempsey's perfect.
Her insecurities are going nuts because of the missed flight. I mean, I kind of get it. If you're already so anxious and nervous and freaking out. I liked that her cabbie, she's like, yeah, I'm going over to Darlington. He's like, oi, Darlington sucks ass. That place is right shit.
It's kind of cold up there. That was great. It is like the dead of winter.
And I enjoy that her main concern has to do with Dempsey potentially hearing her have explosive diarrhea in this hotel room. Because I feel like that's extremely relatable.
That's even before she had the explosive diarrhea, though. When she just arrived. Oh,
she was emotionally preparing herself for explosive diarrhea.
I feel like she gave herself diarrhea because she like...
She probably did. From it. Like, yeah. She said that she got a parasite. Do you think that she manifested a parasite, Kim?
Dude, they like blazed over that. She was like, yeah, they said I have a parasite. So I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, that's a big deal. It's hard to get rid of a parasite.
Maybe right? It has to do with like going into a field and looking for bugs for hours. I don't know.
A lot of people had a lot to say about that bug scene. They're like, that's some park that's like well known. It's like small.
It was come on. It was producer driven. Like they're like, hey, how can we make her look fucking weird? Okay. Let's go here.
Let's destroy public property in a park and look for bugs in this log. Oh my God. So funny. But yeah, I loved her. Like, oh, here I am in this bathroom releasing gas. I take one step. Now I'm in the bedroom trying to get laid. Oh, I'm not in the mood anymore. I think she's funny. I don't know.
It was funny. But when this scene was over, I looked at the time. It's like, this was a 7-minute scene of her freaking out about pooping. Just like,
are you
Jesus.
Serious? You mean from like, the cab?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it like kind long. Of like nothing happened at all. But I mean, it was funny.
It means we're getting 20
tips. She gets a parasite from God knows what. Again, like you said, totally glossed over. And that's, yeah, like you said, that's not something that usually goes away with like an antibiotic. It can take a long time, right?
It's like a long process. I had a friend that got like a parasite, took her months to get rid of it. She had to stop eating certain stuff. And it's not like antibiotic, it's like different medicine you have to take. And I don't know, it's like really gross and actually like pretty.
I need a parasite. Stop. I'm so hungry right now.
So, she's kind of dramatic. She's like, if this relationship doesn't work out, I don't even know what to do with my whole life. I don't even have a plan B. It's like, just keep doing whatever you were doing before.
Yeah. She strikes me as someone that's never had a plan B, like ever.
Yeah.
Which, and you're still fine. You know, chug along.
Do your bug thing. And
yeah, whatever.
Bang all the ladies you go on dates with. What's the problem?
It is kind of wild that I wonder if her heart rate being at 125 was because she was really sick and her body was freaking out, or she's just that anxious that she's able to manifest a heart rate of 125 from anxiety.
Great question. I had the same question. I was like, is she just making herself sick because she's so anxious? Like, is this basically a side effect of an anxiety attack, you know?
Right. My heart rate right now is 69 beats per minute. And 125 for me is like, and I'm in terrible shape. I'm working on it. But 125 for me is like a light jog for a little bit. So just the fact that she's able to do that from literally sitting in a cab is like, man.
It's intense.
Yeah.
I did appreciate that she flies into London, I think, and then she takes the train straight to Manchester, which is great. I love the north of England. I think it has more character, and I mean, in the winter it's cold and you probably shouldn't go there, but I think it's cool that we're like not in London, like everybody else in London. Like we're in a different part.
I feel like we've never seen anything except London. We saw Western Supermare for 10 minutes.
It's still in the South, except for Katie and Alejandro. I feel like she was from somewhere in Yorkshire too. Like, remember her grandma made everything that was beige for Alejandro.
Well, we can't count 90 Day UK. Okay. That's just not fair.
Yeah, you're right. It's too diverse. But yeah, I agree. I feel like we're always in London, like with John Walters and Rachel, they were in London, even though he was from Western Supermare, they filmed in London. Christian's in London. Those are the only two times we've seen the UK on the show.
Dempsey, we only get to meet her for 1 minute, but she seems delightful. You know, she lives on a farm. I mean, based on this and the preview, it seems pretty clear that the drama is going to be, first of all, Dempsey doesn't seem to understand Statler's ambitions to just literally fucking move there, like right now. So that's tough. But Statler's coming in and thinking about what it would be like to live on this fucking farm and freaking out. And Dempsey must probably doesn't even understand that that's on her radar. So I wonder if they're just going to be like, it seems like they're going to have like really bad communication because they have different goals, right?
Yeah, this is going to be dramatic. Dempsey does seem super chill though. So maybe it won't be a big deal to her, but yeah, I think she's going to be kind of shook. Like, can you imagine somebody to come visit you like for what you think is a bang trip? And then they're like, oh, you're my future wife. You'd be like, oh, I'm scared. It'd be a little weird.
I don't know. The meeting was pretty awkward.
Very.
Yeah.
Very awkward.
I mean, I could see, I mean, they're both talking about it in an open and honest way, though, which I guess is good. You know, talking about,
I think they're compatible.
Yeah.
But it's awkward.
Checking out her butt. Jesus.
I love that Dempsey was just told to like walk around the city of Manchester with all of her luggage coming from Thailand until Dempsey was out of the doctor. Like, literally, they didn't send her back to the hotel room. They wanted to film this meeting outside. So they're like, yeah, can you carry your heavy shit all around Manchester for like a couple of hours until we're ready to film you?
Yeah.
I was like, it looks so miserable. Statler is
desperately trying not to shit her pants.
It was really funny. I'm curious if this anti-nausea medication is going to wear off or if she got additional medication, but it was just, oh man, this is, yeah. So, we didn't know that Dempsey is 28 and lives on a farm, right? That's new information.
So. Yeah. And that's, I mean, Darlington, you know, seems like it's a small town, but the fact that she lives on a whole ass farm is interesting. Cause it seems like Statler fled from that type of lifestyle a long time ago, as we learned her mom is the mayor of a very, very small town in Texas. So small town, probably not her game.
I think small town in England is so different. Small, like, England's so small. Even if you're from a small town, you're so close to like big stuff. But I'd like to see how big this farm is. Maybe it's charming. I mean, it doesn't have indoor plumbing, but you know, whatever. And yeah, we see it like Statler awkwardly. You want to come back to my hotel and exchange gifts? Like, they're going to bang immediately, right?
I hope they do. Just to like get past this awkward stuff, like it's kind of funny to watch the first meeting, but it'll get boring quickly unless they bang it out and start actually seeing if they're into each other, you know?
Yeah, good point.
Leave it to Matt Sharp to, even in England, make most of this plot line about toilets. and lack of plumbing on Before the 90.
Oh man, never gets old. Let's talk Misha in the club.
Well, she really likes Israel, but she doesn't like the person that she's with.
No, there's no way she marries this guy, right?
No. She's got to have the ick by now. She has to.
Awful. I haven't heard any more about heavy petting. So I think she was just super horned up the first night. And now she's like, no fucking way. No more of that.
I thought it was so weird and funny. She sees a woman in a wedding dress outside and feels underdressed. As if like the gravitational pull of this bride is like sucking her in and she has an obligation to look nice. Which is the strangest thing. If I walk by a wedding on the beach, I don't feel underdressed because I'm not invited to the wedding.
Right? Right?
It's so funny.
It's so funny, Kyle. I laughed so... I'm like, she's a bride. Like, what?
Dude, I'm with Nicola. This is not normal and embarrassing were his exact words. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of get it.
But because his reasoning is, oh, I don't want her to change in the car. What if somebody sees her?
Kim, she's too worldly. What does that mean?
Of the world? I don't know.
Does that mean she's like, is he trying to say that she's too promiscuous or like slutty or something? Is that what worldly means?
I took it to mean like materialistic, but I'm like, have you seen her, like everything she brought? Like, have you seen Misha? Like, she is materialistic. Like, she's 50 pairs of shoes for a 7-day trip. Like, what? Oh my, she wears so much makeup.
And based on the preview for the next episode with his brother, he's still very disturbed about that.
Oh my God, get over it, Nicola. She's hot. Like, this guy is such a ding dong. Like, I just,
they just, they want, he's a man baby. Like, he wants the hot, beautiful, put together woman, but he doesn't like any of the things that are like required to maintain that. Right.
Thank you. Great articulation. How did we get to a space? Season five, season six, where are we with before season five, before the 90 days, season six? I don't know. Where Rosven is the best guy on the season. We have Nicola. We have Riley, who's like assaulting his person with a fucking video chat with his friend while he goes to the bathroom.
If a video chat was assault.
Exactly. And then we have Christian. Like, seriously? This is the worst lineup of men, I think, in a long time. I mean, I'm here for it.
It's pretty bad.
Undercover, but it's bad. It's
pretty bad. Yeah.
And Nicola is... The amount he talks about sin and, like, why do you even go to downtown Haifa at night if you don't want to have a beer? 30 minutes. If it's under 30 minutes, it's not a sin. Over 30 minutes is a sin. I never learned that rule growing up, Kyle. I don't know that that's like...
Yeah, again, like, I don't think that's in the Bible.
Jesus and only drank wine for 30 minutes. Over 30 minutes, sin.
His Apple Watch alarm was set for 30 minutes. And then he had to get the fuck out of there before people started smoking cigarettes that didn't exist. And also, like, doesn't this entire concept defeat the purpose of Catholicism? Isn't the whole point of being a Catholic is you kind of do whatever the fuck you want and then you feel bad about it and then you confess your sins and then you're good to go?
Yeah, you confess to a priest only because only the priest can talk to God. And
the way that he is speaking, he really sounds like... He kind of sounds like a Jehovah's Witness, right? Or he sounds like just a really hardcore, like monkish type radical evangelical that just will not allow themselves to be tempted by anything. Just, yeah. I don't know. This is not the version of Catholicism I'm used to seeing.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither.
I mean, I'm used to like you and my wife, both like, who both like ran away at the earliest opportunity.
I wouldn't use myself as an example.
Maybe it's not a greatest example, but.
But I mean, even like my dad, like is like, he'll go have a drink. He does not restrict himself to 30 minutes and he's quite devout. So, I mean, I don't know. This is bananas.
I guess you could like tie it to like sloth or something, but he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He makes everything about this weird juvenile, literally anything will lead to sex, Misha. You can't go to the club. You can't smoke cigarettes because that's what people that fuck do. Yeah. After he like rubbed his dick through his underwear on her for probably 2 hours the other day. Stop. Heavy it's petting.
Misha asked Nicola if he.
Cigarettes? That's not Catholic.
She's one cigarette a year on New Year's Eve, and he thinks she's like Satan.
It's not right. It's not right.
Oh my God.
Anyways, like before they even go downtown, though, he's like, so are you feeling better today? And she's like, well, we haven't actually talked about anything. So like, no.
Except she says, like, she does ask him something about if he has texted his brother because they want to meet, you know, she wants to meet somebody in his family. So I guess it's going to be his brother. It's, you're rushing me. I take stuff slowly. I'm like, yeah, you're like 57. You haven't had sex yet. Like, we get that. But
he was the one that wanted to get married as soon as she stepped off the plane.
Yes. Thank you. That's what I have written down. I'm like, wait a minute. Didn't you want to marry her like 3 hours in? And now you're yelling at her for like rushing you. And she makes the ultimatum. She's like, look, I leave here not engaged. This is over. And we know she's not going to leave there engaged. I mean, how's this guy?
There's no way.
So
I mean, after a few episodes, I do believe that she has some self-respect. I hope that's not pot of shame.
Misha, don't do it, man. Don't marry this guy. Don't even do heavy petting with him again. Like, seriously, it's bad. There's so many Catholic guys out there that will want to marry you. Like, I don't understand. This is wild.
I'm gonna try to do a heavy petting sound effect. Did that work? Did that work for you?
That with the vacuum.
Did that work for you, Kim?
I think it needs to be like. It needs to be wetter somehow. I'm going to throw up.
Wow. That's the last thing that sound effect mix needed. Dampness, you know?
So, I mean,
I'm not going to stay for more than a half hour. So, like, the sin is fine as long as you don't exceed, like, the sin time limit.
Yes, apparently. And this is made up by Nicola himself. He hasn't been to a bar in 20 years. I don't believe that. She's like, not even for, like, a sports game? You live in the world, but you don't have to behave like the world, Misha. Misha. Ooh. Okay. All right. Well, they're going to the nightclub, even though it's not Catholic.
Yeah, it just seems like his problem with the club, which he's probably never fucking been in, is he has this perception that it's men and women and they're being promiscuous, which, look, I mean, that definitely is a thing. But
for sure.
But he's the one that heavy petted with someone he wasn't married to the other day. So, like, what's the, I don't know. It's so annoying. And it feels like very hypocritical. And she's like, okay, it's just dancing though. Like, do you think dancing is a sin? And he totally dodges it.
Yeah. Like,
well, that's complicated. You know, I mean, I can be there and not do sin. So what's the implication then? Do you not want to go because you think Misha is incapable of not sinning? Is that what that means then?
Because if you, she's a woman, she's a slut. Okay.
She ate the apple. So fucking like, yeah. And then she's like, I think she asked a really important question, which even if everything was going great, the answer that he gives to this question would be super concerning. She says, would you judge my daughters for having boyfriends and going to the club? And he completely dodges that too. He doesn't answer the question. He just says, well, I wouldn't fight with them, which means you're going to be judging them. Do you think that these kids aren't going to be able to pick up on that?
Yeah, they're not idiots. And you're very transparent, Nicola. I loved the way they edited this club scene.
Oh my God.
5 minutes, great. Misha. I won't like it.
And I'm not going to like it.
Like it. He's having the time of his life. He's drinking beer. He's grinding on Misha. It's so funny.
Kim, oh, this God. Is literally a bit from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Yeah. The exact same thing happens. One of the characters is like, well, I'll try it, but I guarantee you I'm going to hate this. And then he's like, he's 100% all in, smash cut, having the time of the life. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's so funny that he's loving it. They both look kind of like shit-faced. I wonder if he's going to acknowledge that they had a good time and loosen up, or much more likely try to shame her and go to confession immediately about this.
Oh, I'm sure the latter. There's no way that he, they look like they're genuinely having a good time.
Yeah.
I was like, they're going to do more heavy petting later if this keeps up. But I mean, she's on her second beer, Kyle. What's going to happen?
The horror.
They drank a whole bottle of wine the first night. We saw it in the morning.
Devil slut woman. Well, that's why there was heavy petting.
This show is brought to you by BetterHelp. Sometimes in life, we're faced with tough choices, and the path forward isn't always super clear. There's just so much uncertainty in life, but we definitely aim to make better choices, hopefully, than the people we're watching on the reality TV shows we cover on this podcast. Whether you're dealing with decisions around career, your relationships, or really anything else in your life, therapy helps you stay connected to what you really want while you navigate life, so you can move forward with confidence and excitement. My experience with therapy has been that when I know I have time slotted to talk through my stuff, my issues, you know, all the decisions that I'm making in life, I'm better able to just move forward and be excited. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. And it isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/CrayCray today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/CrayCray. And thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode.
Lauren, we are sisters.
That's true.
And we host a celebrity-obsessed podcast called Pop Apologists.
We also love Taylor Swift. Chandler, how are you managing to cope while we await Taylor's new album?
Look, I want to be put into a medically induced coma and wake up on April 19th, but I'm not sure my insurance is going to cover it.
Join us on our pop culture podcast, Pop Apologists, where we will be dishing on all things celebrity news and deep diving every word and note of Taylor's new album.
Pop Apologists.
Pop Apologists.
Let's talk about Riley. Oh, boy.
Interesting to see that they have all this U.S. Equipment from the war.
Oh, the War Remembrance Museum. Yeah.
Yeah. That looks repaired and on display for everyone to see. She's pretty pissed off. She's bummed. He's very up and down. Sometimes he's nice, sometimes he's mean. And she's still pissed about not getting a present for mom, which is a big deal. That was a huge fuck up.
Yeah.
And someone pointed out, it is really strange that he got her elastic, like, pearls on, like, a little elastic rubber band. But then he got her daughter's designer handbags.
Were they real?
I have no idea, but
he could have got that shit on eBay. You know what I mean?
I mean, he could have got it at duty free.
That's true. Yeah. If they're real designer handbags, he definitely spent more on the daughters than he did on her. She's still wearing that shitty elastic pearl bracelet too. Which, like, is in the scene.
Nice of her, you know, trying
it's
to,
nice of her.
She's trying to be nice to him after calling him ugly and fat, you know?
Look, I understand Riley's point. I take his point that he's like, I am a black guy in Vietnam. There's nobody here that looks like me. So if somebody's calling me fat and ugly, it feels like a racist attack. Like, that's what I took from what he said. And
that I get
does,
that too. Yeah,
I get it. Yeah. But he lost me then when he said, it's especially rude in my country when a woman calls a man fat and ugly. I was like, what?
What? In what world? In what world is it worse to call a man fat than a woman? What are you talking about?
What the hell are you? And then I was like, all right, dude, I was on your side for like when you said the other thing, and now I hate you again.
That's what are you talking so about? Bizarre. Like, what the fuck?
I could call you fat and ugly, but you can't call me fat and ugly. It's way worse. What?
I just... God, so stupid.
Sometimes so, he's cute and lovely, and sometimes he's terrible. Really, though, in like the same scene. It's crazy, yeah. Meek.
I mean, I've never really seen him that cute, except in front of her. He tried in front of her family, but it lasts 10 seconds until he starts talking about how shady she is in front of her own daughters. He calls her a liar.
Ugh. They responded to it too. It was uncomfortable. So
they accept each other's apologies. It seems like things could be good. I mean, look, they did tee up a possible really nice date. You know,
well,
could have been good. Could have been sexy.
Mm-hmm.
But we gotta fuck it up.
Violet has the right reaction, though. She's like, I'm so sorry. I really sympathize with you. In her ITM, she even says, like, I don't know her exact words, but they were like, she says, like, oh, I feel really bad and I sympathize with him. And she, you know, immediately apologizes and tries to explain her culture. Like, we say that. She says he feels alienated. And I was like, that's a, like, she understands what he's saying, like, truly. And we usually don't see people, like, apologize in this case. So I thought her reaction was appropriate. But then, they're like, let's go on this sexy dinner. He's super pumped. She's in a sexy dress. Even Riley looks good. She likes the way, you know, she's like, I like, you look good. This and that. Why? Like, this rooftop looks fucking awesome. I want to go there.
Food looks good, so let's do everything we can possibly do to fuck this up.
My God.
Maybe I looked away for a second. Was it his idea to call her, or did she call him?
I don't... No. So she said, Violet starts out asking, well, you know, what does... Or I can't remember who asked who, but they're like basically talking about in your culture. She says in my culture in Vietnam, it's a big deal. A family doesn't like you. So like, what's it like in America? I'm trying to learn about your culture. Like, what if your family doesn't like me? And he's like, oh, hey, well, and she's like, I know I have a great relationship with your dad. I was like, whoa. Well, is that what you think?
let's park that conversation for another episode, because that needs to come out soon.
And Riley even says, oh, I'm sorry, you did. He's like, he starts to talk about how you sent my dad some really weird texts and said some terrible shit about me. And she's like, I thought we were having a nice night. He's like, you're right, we're not gonna argue. So let me call my friend Tiffany. Like, he sets her up for this. And she knows. She turns to him. Tiffany is wearing sunglasses in this video chat. Like, why? He, like, throws the phone at her with Tiffany on speaker and goes to the bathroom.
You talk while I take a big shit.
It's so bad. And Violet knows exactly what he's setting her up for. He's like, really? Like, why are you doing this to me? She says, why are you doing this to me? She's not dumb. And
I'm going to give Riley a little bit of benefit of the doubt on the timing here, because whenever someone sits down with like a friend or a family member or is on a FaceTime and they're like, I'll be right back. Like, you know, that's producer driven.
That's true. I know.
Like, nobody fucking's like, here's my friend. Bye. I'm going to take a crap. And then they're gone for 40 minutes. That never fucking happens. And so I'm willing to believe that the producers told him, okay, during this dinner, you got to call. What's her name?
I know that's true. And I know they put Tiffany up to ask her this question. I just can't imagine talking to like my friend's significant other who I've never met.
Yeah.
And being like, why did you do this.
And like, Riley triples down on it. That's the worst part of the whole thing.
I know. It's awful.
He just got done like, saying,
Answer the question. What?
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, he just got done saying and agreeing to not argue and have a nice night. And if the producers force you to have this conversation, like, try to play both sides a little bit more, dude. You know? Try to come off like you're sympathetic to the person you're supposed to be in love with a little bit.
Have they had any nights that were just fun?
No, not at all. It's always ended like this.
If you're trying to date somebody, don't you want to at least have like at least half the nights be just like pleasant, or like anything about your relationship be pleasant?
I will say, if I was Riley, I really would want that question answered, though.
Yeah, I guess I would. So. I mean, just be like, oh, I forgot to delete my profile, whatever.
But she was active.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, it's not a crazy question to ask. The timing is nuts. And also, it's really aggressive. And he's being a dick about this. I answered your questions. It's not a hard question. Answer it. But I'd want to know, too.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. It's just like, it's the way that he like interrogates her about it.
Yeah. At a nice dinner. Like, and it looks like it gets even worse next episode.
Yeah, it's the friend, too. Like, if you want to know, Riley, ask a fucking question.
Right. Why do you have to be such a coward and hide behind someone to do your dirty work for you?
Yeah, exactly. I don't like it at all. All right, Kyle, we've come to the time where we have to discuss
our favorite people.
I hate
the most
so
the
much.
Most non-controversial couple this season where nothing weird happens at all.
The whole time I was watching this, I was like, I don't wanna.
Oh no. She's really worried that she's going to come off to him as a Debbie Downer and no fun, and that's gonna be even less attractive to him. So like she can't win. You know what I mean? And so yeah, I guess what I'm saying is, I guess what I'm saying is the communication here has been, is not healthy. It's not, it's bad. So from Christian's perspective, he doesn't know how her autism affects her because I'm not sure she talks about it that much with him yet. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I am curious how much they've discussed this and all the time that they've been talking online and like,
yeah.
Did he even make an effort to kind of Google autism and read about it, but there are so many, like, no two
it's so
autistic
different.
People are the same.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So like whose job is it to break down how these situations make her feel? But I will say it does not seem like Christian is really that interested in it either. You know, I mean, you can read body language. It's pretty clear what her body language is, and he doesn't seem very interested in what she wants. He's dragging her around all over the place. So I think he's worse here, but I can understand a little bit why he doesn't know how she's feeling because she doesn't express it either, except through body language, which he just completely ignores.
Yeah. I mean, even when they're still at the apartment and Cleo's like, well, what do you want to do today? And he's like, I don't really make plans. I just explore. She's like, okay, well, I need a little bit of predictability. And cool. Like,
but she doesn't say that to him. She says that in 19M.
Yeah, I know. And we don't really know what she says, right? Because everything's edited and we don't get the full story, but it seems like she doesn't speak up. And so
I can forgive him for that one.
Annoying, but yeah.
I can forgive him for that one. But as the day goes on, this gets worse and worse.
And she says when they're at the first bar, she says, oh, it's so nice. It's just the two of us and we don't have a lot of, it's not loud. It's quiet. We can talk.
Let's go to the pub.
God. Ugh. So.
The first, Christian, like you said, like the first drink on the boat, you know, mostly fine, I guess. They kiss. And he's like, you want to go dancing and have karaoke? And she's like, honestly, no. And then what his response is, well, I want to see you when you're fucking drunk. So let's go to the bar. Like, what?
He wants her to let loose, Kyle. Get her buzzed.
But that's just not how it works for her. I mean, you just getting drunk. I don't know this for sure, but it seems like getting drunk would just make all of these fears and anxieties worse for her.
So much worse. Oh my God. Like, yeah. Seriously.
It's not an inhibition. It's not an autism remover.
I feel like he wants her to get drunk because he is uncomfortable.
I think so. I think you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Like,
I
think it just seems
like this dude, and he's not attracted to her. He's not. He's trying to give himself beer goggles too.
Is she attracted to him? It doesn't seem like there's like, I can't tell from her end.
I can't tell either.
Cause she said, he's so out of my league. But I'm like, do you really think
what are you talking about? Yeah.
And that's not true either.
But at a certain point you have to think his super mixed signals and just completely ignoring her body language. And even in the case of going to the bar, her words, that anxiety spiral that he's causing her can't lead her to continue to be attracted to him for much longer.
You wouldn't think. Oh my God, Kyle, this plain story at the bar.
You were very affected by this.
I was like, let me get this straight. He is bragging about this. He's drunk on the floor. I wrote down verbatim. I watched this like 6 times. So I've got a really crazy story for you.
Bruh.
So like, I definitely had a couple of drinks on the plane right in London. I was like walking down the aisle and, you know, everyone's kind of sleeping, but there's a seat next to this gal who was sitting there. This blonde girl, right? She's looking at me. What are you doing? And I was like, I'm sorry, it's dark in here. You can't see. I'm stumbling around kind of drunk right now. And she started talking to me and I kind of sat down and having a conversation with her friend. And, you know, they were like young girls, like maybe 21. I don't know. And, you know, then I asked the flight attendant for some drinks and she's like, I've heard about you. I'm cutting you off.
You really fucking hate this guy.
Dude, the flight attendant's like, get away from these girls. Cleo's reaction to this is like, I guess they maybe like complained or something. Flight attendant, this drunk old guy is trying to like assault me on a plane and everybody's asleep and it's dark. And there's this blonde girl could have been like 16.
It's so funny that Cleo sees nothing redeeming in this story at all. She's like, I probably would have freaked out about it too.
Yeah, that's just a friendly guy. Like, what? No.
She doesn't even say, yeah, that's crazy or anything like that. Just like a non-committal anything.
Nothing.
It's hilarious.
It's like, oh, Cleo's so weirded out that I'm making friends with 21-year-olds on planes. And I think Cleo totally calls this. She's like, I would be scared in that situation if I were those girls. And he's like, no. Like, oh, does it bother you? I was making friends. And she's like, yeah, kind of like would weird me out if we were on a flight together and you were like drunk and talking to some random girl in the back of the plane.
But I would never do that, which is
if I was with you.
That's what he meant to like. But what difference? I mean, in Cleo's mind, it's like, what difference does it make if I was there or not? You're still hitting on random like young chicks on a plane, trying to get them drunk like you're trying to get me drunk.
And then add insult to injury. Then he's like, oh, that makes you uncomfortable. Cool. Hey, group of 12 young women right next to me at the bar. What's your names? I'm from Minnesota. I'm like,
and that's,
I want to hit you.
See, that's what makes the plane story 100 times worse to me. It's not the story in of itself, which is like really strange, but it didn't. First of all, it didn't shock me at all coming from him. But It's like, I mean, I've told weird stories on this podcast about talking to strangers and bizarre conversations that happen, like in Costa Rica, for example, a long time ago. We should never speak of it again. But so I don't have a problem just engaging strangers, going to the bar, hanging out, even with them with friends, like it happens. But I find it really strange to both on the plane and at this restaurant invite myself into the conversation in a kind of like permanent way. You know what yes. I mean? He kind of invite, like they're celebrating this girl's birthday at this bar. And when he motions for Cleo to join him, that is like a tacit, like, okay, we are part of your circle now. And I have invited myself to celebrate your birthday. Like I would never do that. You have to be invited into a circle of other people. And that's just like crossing a line. And so my original point was the plane story is really worse because her response to that is, wow, that makes me really uncomfortable. And so what does he do? He does the same thing, but in yeah. front of her, which yeah. is what he just said he would never do.
Yep. And he says, come closer, Cleo. And she says, no, it's too many people. I think I have to leave. To his credit, like they do leave right away. He's not like, come on. But she's like super in her head now thinking, well, he's really social and this isn't, he's not going to be down with this.
He's not going to change. This is like a serious, deep compatibility problem.
Hello, lovely listeners. Are you sad that this podcast is just about over? Do you need something to listen to while you're on your long summer walks in your neighborhood, cooking or cleaning your house? Do you hate ads and you really can't skip through them because you're listening to this podcast when you're cleaning your house or cooking and you don't want to get spaghetti sauce on your phone? That's at least my deal. If you want to listen to Kyle and I talk about the absurdity of the 90-day franchise of shows and occasionally other TV for even more hours every week, sign up for our premium podcast feed either on Patreon or with our 30-second super easy sign up on Supercast. It's only $5 a month. It's extremely easy to sign up for and add to the podcast app of your choice. You'll get an extended version of this podcast weekly, usually 1.5 hours to 2 hours long, no ads, and our B-Sides episode, which drops on Wednesday, where we discuss more 90-day gossip and any other 90-day shows that are currently airing. Right now, that's Love in Paradise. And coming soon, we have another season of The Other Way, and we have 90-Day UK Season 2, and we are so excited for both. You'll get full access also to our full, complete archive of podcasts. What are you waiting for? Treat yourself. I mean, it's less than a cup of coffee. Visit realitycraycray.com to sign up now. That's realitycraycray.com. Kyle, what are your final thoughts about the episode? Please do tell.
It was a good episode. It was enraging. Yeah. But best part by far was Nicola in the club. It seems like that's going to result in zero self-reflection about anything, really. So that's always what we like to see on 90 Day. You know, no growth at all.
No, it's not what we expect. We don't like to be surprised. Yeah. I thought this was a great episode. I had a lot, even like, I know the Statler scenes were kind of dragged out a little bit. Like you said, like 7 minutes of plane and cab pooping. Yeah, it's a lot. But I don't know. It's when Amanda and Razvin are on that I just get so bored. So the fact they haven't been around in a couple weeks is good, in my opinion. I'm scared for Christian to go home on the plane and for all young women on that flight with him. Steer clear. Act like you're asleep. If you're awake, he's going to get you. He's going to come try and talk to you and get you a drink you don't want. So
that's
poor flight dark. Poor flight attendants, man.
Yeah. Just like, doing the Lord's work, keeping everyone safe, you know?
Yeah, I tell you. Violet, I hope you find something better, you know? It's not great. Although, to your point, look, it is probably a valid question.
Look, she never she deleted never the app. It's going to be a soft landing. It's fine.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. This was super fun. We will talk to you next week.
Bye, guys.